verses 38 through 40 and 45 through 50. Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the wandi, and put them in his shepherd's bag, in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew nearer to David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into the forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and stone, striking down the Philistine and killing him there with no sword in David's hand.
So first, I'd like to thank you all so much for the invitation to come back and worship with you all this morning. I'm very grateful. Will you please pray with me? Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these people. And may you come and your word be a blessing to each and every one of us this morning. Amen. So on a gloomy summer morning, Saul, king of Israel, led his formidable Israelite army to the front lines of battle. Approaching them from across the valley were the Philistines, an intimidating army seemingly comprised of giants for soldiers. As the two armies neared one another, with one army on this side and the other army on the other, a soldier named Goliath, described as 6 cubits tall, or 10 feet tall, stepped forward. The text describes him as a champion. He had a helmet made of bronze and armor that would weigh our modern equivalent of 126 pounds. I imagine that he gallantly walked forward, staring menacingly at the Israelite army and declared, "Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me." Nervously, the Israelite army declined the Goliath's offer, and the Goliath offered this challenge to the Israelite army for 40 days. And finally, enter David. Now, most of us know about David. He is one of the most well-known characters in the Hebrew Bible, and fondly referred to as the man after God's own heart. Camps are usually mixed in terms of how we regard David in modernity. Is he an adulterer and warmonger? Is he a coward who flees from in the face of challenge? Is he a committed man of faith who transforms Israel for perpetuity? But despite our own opinions of David, there is one thing for certain. David was human. It was in this humanity that David ventured to the front lines of the Israel-Philistine war, just to look for his brothers. It just so happened that when David found his brothers, Goliath stepped forward again, challenging the Israelite army and inviting one lucky soldier down for a duel. As David stood among his brothers, he was astonished by the size of Goliath and by Goliath's audacity to challenge the great and godly Israelite army. David asks, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Those around David whispered and murmured about the young boy who questioned Goliath. They whispered and whispered, and their whispers traveled all the way to Saul. Now, all of this happened before we even get to our text for today. Our text picks up after Saul sent for David. He heard about this young man who spoke with confidence against Goliath and wanted to meet him in person. When they met, David valiantly declared to Saul, "I will go and fight with this Philistine." And now I imagine Saul looking at David curiously and saying, "David, now remember, you are only human." In verse 33, Saul says, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." So I imagine Saul saying to David to know his role, to stay in his lane, and to remember to be put in his place. And I imagine Saul saying to David, "There is nothing special about you. You're just a boy. Are you even a soldier? No. Do you have any experience in war? No. What makes you think that you are able to fight against a warrior, a champion like Goliath?" So Saul took one look at David and doubted his ability to fight. But David didn't let external doubt turn into internal criticism. Now, when David heard Saul's doubt, he quickly pulled out his resume. David boldly shares with Saul, "I used to keep sheep for my father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it." It was a gruesome resume. But then David continued on. "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." David maintained so much confidence in God, the one who imbued him with the power and courage and strength to fight lions and bears, that he just knew God will see him through in fighting Goliath. What great faith. Hearing this, Saul blessed David and sent him on his way. David tried to wear Saul's armor. He tried to wear a bronze helmet. He tried to wear a coat of mail. He tried to carry Saul's sword. But this was David's first time wearing such heavy armor that he felt it would be easier to just take it off. And now imagine a small boy clothed in no armor, walking into battle, just all of his humanness. All he had with him was a staff, a sling, and 5 smooth stones. And David acquired these 5 stones as he walked toward the Philistine army. And when he found one, he knelt down to pick it up and placed it in his shepherd's bag. David foresaw the stones being used in his quest to defeat Goliath. The stones were an unconventional way to prevail against the enemy. They were his way to overcome a threat or to bring peace to his community and literally to save the lives of his people. These 5 stones represented more than just a weapon for David. They served as tools of subversion. They served as tools of liberation, tools of success, and tools of claiming power and progress for the Israelites. Finally, when David and Goliath came face to face, David reached into his bag, pulled out a stone, placed the stone in his sling, and hit Goliath right in the middle of the forehead. Or as our friend said, he knocked him out. The giant fell on his back, waiting for David to offer the final blow, which eventually killed the Philistine. Even today, we often come face to face with our own Goliath. We face Goliath of inequality. We face Goliath of the isms. We face Goliath of oppression. Sometimes we face Goliath of financial hardship. Sometimes we face Goliath of job loss, of unstable relationships. Sometimes we face Goliath of our own insecurities. Sometimes we face Goliath of being denied access because of the color of our skin. Sometimes we face Goliath because of who we choose to love. Sometimes we face the Goliath of a faulty criminal justice system. Sometimes we face the Goliath of our faulty healthcare system. And sometimes, just sometimes, we face Goliath right in our own government. So what 5 stones are we to pick up as we march toward our Goliath? In reflecting on the rise of David and in considering the work of Jesus, David's distant descendant, in his battles with Goliath, I come to some ideas. So what 5 stones must we pick up? Our first stone is one you may not expect, the stone of criticism. And what I mean by criticism is not for us to be judgmental or cynical, but for us to critically think about the powers that be in order to subvert them. If David did not critically think about Goliath's words, he would not have understood the gravity of them. David recognized that Goliath was not only challenging the Israelite army, but challenging the people of God. If David did not critically think about Goliath's actions, he would not have cleverly known to strike Goliath in the head, his most vulnerable place. We must think critically about our enemies and the power structures that support them, for how else will we disrupt them? And the second stone we pick up is the stone of confidence. David's confidence is what brought him to the front line of a war he knew nothing about. And his confidence allowed him to face Goliath, assured in his ability to win. But David had more than confidence in himself. He had confidence in God. He knew that the God who saved him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear would surely save him from the Philistine. And we too must pick up that stone of confidence as we confront our Goliath of trauma. We must pick up the stone of confidence as we confront our Goliath of addiction. We must pick up the stone of confidence as we confront our Goliath of hardship, trusting that the God who provided for David in the midst of war would surely provide for us in the midst of our own battles. The third stone is compassion. David recognized that he fought not only for himself, but for all of Israel. David witnessed Goliath instill fear and anxiety amongst the soldiers, and out of compassion, David felt compelled to do something about it. Like David, we pick up our stones of compassion as we consider others and recognize that we work toward justice for not only ourselves, and we pick up our stones of compassion as we are guided by our faith to do good in this world. And we pick up our stones of compassion as we fulfill our divine call to love God, to love others, and to love ourselves. Which brings us to our fourth stone, community. And we know that David and Saul's relationship eventually dissolves. However, in this text, we see how Saul became David's number one supporter. When David shared that he alone would fight Goliath, Saul blessed David and lent him his armor. Not only did David have Saul as community, but he had God as community as well. David knew that God was with him as he approached his enemy, and that brought him great assurance. Our stone of community symbolizes those who support us in our efforts to do good in this world. So we pick up our stone of community as we collaborate for justice. We pick up our stone of community as we uplift others as they prepare for their own battles. We pick up our stone of community as we move collectively toward liberation and peace. And the final stone we pick up is the stone of courage. At first, Saul had little faith in David, believing that a young boy would surely fail in the face of a champion like Goliath. And as we face our own doubters and critics, courage allows us to have faith in ourselves as we walk toward our battles. We pick up the stone of courage as we fight unashamedly for justice and peace. We pick up the stone of courage as we valiantly approach our Goliath with nothing but our staff and our sling. And we pick up the stone of courage as we stand on the front lines of change in our own communities. So may we too kneel down and pick up our stones, for we have Goliaths to face. Amen.